So cool. It's good to be together again. I have an interesting lesson this morning. You probably remember this. Everybody likes to talk about animals, right? My grandkids have this book called The Wonky Donkey. Anybody read that? I've read that book. It's got lots of pictures. Oh, we'll have to get that for you. Dominic says he's not read it. We'll have to get that book. The Wonky Donkey. It's my style of reading. If you know, I've mentioned from time to time, I'm not a reader. I don't just read. Mark's got a book that I read once, and if you see that book, you realize it took me a lot of effort to read that book. I just don't. I'm not a reader, which is, I know you're thinking that's unusual because I'm a preacher, and you might question that as well, but I just don't read recreationally anyways. I can study, but I can't read. But the donkey, it's interesting, right? It's an animal. We love animals. I have some preacher friends that love the donkey. I think it's because they like to use the slang word that we use today for a donkey. We're not going to talk about that kind of donkey today, though. There's a lesson from Balaam in the Old Testament. If you turn to the book of Numbers, we read from that. Nick read from that this morning for us in Numbers 22. Numbers 22. Balaam and his talking donkey. There's a lot of, besides the analogy of a donkey that talks to you, there's things that tie in that help us, it helps us remember some lessons. And that's what I want to ultimately look at today is lessons from this. Because there's a talking donkey involved, we're going to probably, at least I remember that well, remember the lessons well. And maybe you will as in your case as well. There's the narrative. I may have forgot to put animation on that slide. The idea is I want to go through the narrative this morning with us. So if you're in Numbers 22, go ahead and turn to that. This is the time frame of Israel coming in to conquer the land of Canaan. And if you notice in Nick's reading, I'm going to bring this out here in the very first of chapter 22 and verse 2. Balak the son of Zippor saw that Israel had done to the Amorites. Of course, the Israelites coming in and they're conquering the land of Canaan as they begin to inherit their promised land of God from God. In verse 3, Moab was afraid of the people because they were many. They were distressed because of the children of Israel. And in verse 4, Moab said to the elders of Midian, "Now this company will lick up all that are around us like an ox licks up the grass of the field." They see Israel coming to them. And as Israel approaches these nations, God is with them and they're wreaking God's vengeance is what it is on these nations. And so Balak sees this and he realizes and knows he's threatened. Very intriguing to me because as I've studied and grew up in the church and studied the Bible all my life, sometimes we miss the fact that God did not only have prophets in the nation of Israel. Notice here in verse 5 and 6, if you took note of this, there is a prophet, but he does not exist in Israel. He's not a part of God's kingdom. Balaam is of another nation. He's of the land of Canaan, whom Israel is now going to conquer. But notice in verse 5 and 6, Balak, this king, sent messengers unto Balaam, the son of Beor, Pethor, which is by the, if I didn't pronounce those right, forgive me, but you can teach me how to pronounce them later and I'll still forget. But so Balaam I got to start over because I just messed that up. He sent messengers unto Balaam, the son of Pethor, by Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, "Behold, there's a people come out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth and abide over against me. Come now," notice what he says here, this is Balak speaking, "I pray, curse this people, for they are too mighty for me, peradventure that I might prevail, that we might smite them, and that I will drive them out of the land, for I know that who you bless is blessed, and who you curse is cursed." The reputation of Balaam has spread. Everybody, Balak knew that who Balaam blessed was blessed, and who Balaam cursed was cursed. And so Balak says, "Hey, here's my only hope. I can't defeat this army coming out of Israel. They're huge. But let me go to this man who I know he has faith in this man. His word stands true when he says something. And so he sends, if you know the story, you follow along here in chapter 22, verse 7 through 20. He sends, Balak sends the first group of princesses. Basically, he's there to pay Balaam. He's taking money. Curse these people, I will give you money, right? And then Balaam, if you know the story, turns him down. Let's look at this. In verse 9, God came to Balaam and said, "Who are these people with you?" And Balaam interacts with God or speaks with them there. And God said unto Balaam in verse 12, "You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." And so Balaam goes and reports this to Balak. And again, in verse 15 through 18, Balak's not satisfied with that answer. He sends even greater princesses. And notice there in verse 15 to 18, let's read 16. "They came to Balaam and said unto him, 'Thus says Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray, hinder you from coming unto me, for I will promote you to very great honor. I will do whatever you say. Come, I pray, and curse this people.' And Balaam's answer again said unto the servants of Balak, 'If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or to do more.'" Wow, what a statement. Balaam understood the authority of God and what God has spoken and told Balak, "I don't care what you give me. I can't change what God says." Powerful, powerful statement there. But of course, he could have a house full of gold and silver. Right? Balak has said, "I'll give you anything." And that tempts Balaam. That tempts Balaam. Notice now as the reading continues in verse 21, basically, as any of us would do in life, there's a lot of money on the table here. There's a lot of wealth. There's a lot of fame. Balaam has this second thought, says, "Maybe God will change his mind." Right? And so Balaam goes back to God and goes, actually, he asked, besides going back to God, Balaam now goes in verse 21. Balaam goes with the men in the morning and with the princesses of Moab. In verse 22, God's anger was kindled. Well, Balaam was tempted. And we know that specifically from other narratives in the Bible, other teachings of the Bible. We know for sure that he was tempted, and therefore God is now angry with him, and now comes the donkey, the talking donkey. And so in this narrative of verse 21 through 35, Balaam is riding his donkey with these men to go to Balak. And let's read part of this, because this is really, to me, it sets the tone of the lesson, and it's a memorable lesson from this, in Numbers 22 and verse 23. Let's start with verse 22. "God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his donkey, and two servants were with him, and the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in his way, and had his sword drawn in his hand, and he turned out of the way and went into the field," the donkey does. So the donkey sees the angel, and he goes over here to go away from the angel of God with the sword. And of course, like someone with what they believe to be an obstinate animal, Balaam smites his donkey to turn her the other way. Verse 24, "The angel of the Lord stood in the path of vineyards, and a wall being on this side and a wall on that side." In verse 25, "When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he hit her again." And so that's not uncommon if you ride a horse. They don't seem to have a concept for trees. In particular, they'll rub you off on a tree. And that's kind of what happened. The donkey basically rubs Balaam's foot against the wall and crushes it there and hurts him. And now verse 26. "The angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the left or the right. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she fell under Balaam." She just lay down. The donkey couldn't go one way or another, so she laid down. Well, Balaam's angered even more now, right? Verse 27, "Balaam's anger was kindled, and he hit the donkey with his staff." And then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. And the donkey said unto Balaam, what have I done to you that you should smite me these three times? And Balaam said, I'm like, wait a minute. Is that just how the narrative goes? Your donkey starts talking to you and you start talking back. That might be a definition like this. Would you ever argue with yourself? You know, it's kind of, he's talking back to his donkey now. It's like, wow, okay. And the narrative just keeps on going. And he carries on this conversation with the donkey like nothing happened. Like it's no big deal. And I'm thinking, wow, okay. Balaam said to the donkey, because you mocked me. He's not just talking back, he's arguing with it. You mocked me. I would bear a sword in my hand, for I would kill you. It's like, wait a minute, Balaam, your donkey's talking to you. But nonetheless, the donkey said unto Balaam, am I not your donkey in which you have ridden ever since I was with you until this day? And did I ever do this to you? And Balaam says, no, you've never done this. And so then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. He bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you smitten your donkey these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand you, because your way is perverse before me. Well, there's Balaam knows where he stands now, doesn't he? The angel of the Lord has laid it on the line for him. And the donkey saw me and turned from me these three times. And unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain you and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel, Lord, I have sinned, for I knew it not that you stood in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get back again. So basically he said, okay, I've done wrong. You know what, I'll just go back. Because Balaam really wasn't supposed to go to begin with. He was after money. He was after a house full of gold. And so he goes with these people to see Balak in hopes of receiving this. Even though God's already said he's not going to curse the people, and he knows God's word's going to stand true, but maybe there's a chance I can get this money. Well, he's repented of that now at this point. He is repented. He says, I'll go back. I'll not go to see Balak anymore. But God says, go on. Well, that's certainly the most memorable part of the story here, isn't it? The narrative. Balaam on the donkey and arguing with the donkey. And as we get into Numbers 23, we'll not read 23 and 24 so much. We're going to take note of Balak, after this incident, Balak on three occasions offers seven bulls, seven goats, seven rams on seven altars, trying to get God to change his mind, or in essence trying to get Balaam to do what he wants Balaam to do, is to curse these people. But take note of Balak's ploys here. Right? He goes in and he offers flattery, the princesses, and it says even greater princesses. You know, if someone come to meet you that was great and honorable, you might be tempted to go ahead and go along with them. So he uses flattery, he uses money. And we know from other scripture that Balaam was tempted by this money. And he uses intimidation. And we haven't spoke so much yet in our reading about the intimidation aspect, but notice in verse, one of these the passages referenced here, Balak in verse 37 of Numbers 22, Balak said unto Balaam, did I not earnestly send you to call thee? Therefore came you not unto me? Am I not able indeed to promote you to great honor? And he continues on to as far as intimidation. Let me look at my notes now, because I am Numbers 22:37 and 23:11. Notice the response there. Balak said unto Balaam, what have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and behold, you has blessed them altogether. In other words, Balaam, you're not doing what I said do. You're not doing what I said do. And then he continues on in Numbers 24, verse 10. The next chapter, Numbers 24, verse 10. Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. All right? He said, Balaam, what are you doing? curse these people. I said, I want you to curse these people. And so we see these things that are used by Balaam or Balak to get to Balaam. Some of them worked. Some of them worked, didn't they? Some of them worked. And what Balak didn't understand was, who was Balaam speaking for? When Balaam spoke and it happened, was it Balaam speaking or God speaking? And see, Balak didn't understand that. Balak thought if he could convince Balaam to curse these people, he could overcome these people. But it wasn't Balaam speaking. And Balak did not recognize that. Balak saw Balaam as the source of the curse. And it wasn't. God was the source of Balaam's prophecies. It was not Balaam himself. So Balak misunderstood that. Balak misunderstood it. He thought if he could give him money, intimidate him, or flatter him, he could get his way. It did not happen that way. Notice, as I mentioned earlier, this was a prophet of God. He spoke what God asked him to speak. And he said that over and over again. He says, if God were who God curses, I can't go to the left and to the right. In verse chapter 22, verse 18. I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord to do more or to do less. Balaam recognized the authority of God. Balaam recognized what God was, that God gave him something, and when God gave that, he could not change that. He was not authorized to change that. So he was a prophet, but he wasn't a faithful prophet. Notice in Numbers 31, I think sometimes we struggle with men who are ungodly and show ungodly attributes. The reality is God used real men. These were not people who were above and beyond reproach. But in Numbers 31:16, notice the effect Balaam had. Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespasses against the Lord in the battle of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. So there's idol worship involved that Balaam encouraged the children of Israel in. His greed is mentioned in the New Testament in particular. Now, Balaam is mentioned. Every once in a while I get those two names swapped around. They both start with a B. And that's causing me to stumble there. But in 2 Peter 2, 15 and 16. They which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, who for the love of wages of unrighteousness, he was rebuked for his iniquity, his donkey speaking with a man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. And again, Jude 11 references that. He was not a faithful prophet, right? So history, the Bible shows us other events and commentary on Balaam's life. He was not a faithful prophet, but he knew what God spoke. And he knew the authority of what was spoke. He recognized that. So he knew and recognized the authority of God. There's several scriptures there. But as we noted here in Numbers 22, and verse, in particular verse 13, actually, that's not the one I want to look at. Let's look at verse 18, is the one we looked at earlier. Chapter 22 of Numbers, verse 18. I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord of my God to do more or to do less. In chapter 23, verses 8 through 10. Chapter 23, verse 8. How can I curse who God has not cursed? How shall I defy whom the Lord has not defiled? There it goes in and talks about his faith in God and recognizing the power of God. Verse 19 again of chapter 23, a reference there, and verse 13 of chapter 24. There he says, if Balak could give me his house full of silver or gold, repeating the previous quote, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of my own. But what the Lord said, I will speak. He recognized the authority of God and was not going to change God's word. Even though he had failures. Even though he was tempted by wealth and tempted by other things. And he led Israel astray. He knew when God spoke, it mattered. And he could not change that. We used the old commercial, when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. You heard that quote, right? And so we find that reference. There's other references as far as the children of Israel were taught that. We're taught the same thing today in the New Testament era. In Matthew 7:21-23, that's a great passage to remember the authority of God's Word. In Matthew 7:21, and starting there, Matthew 7:21. You've heard, let me get to 7, that was not it. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, not everyone that calls Jesus Lord, not everyone that accepts Him as King shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But who will he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven? Is that not kind of what the same thing that Balaam is saying in a little different way, in certainly words of Jesus? But not everyone that calls me Lord, not everyone that calls me King shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that does my Father's will. Many will say, have we not prophesied in thy name? Hey, Balaam prophesied, didn't he? Balaam spoke for God. And in your name have we cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. The works of Balaam was heard of by Balak. Balak knew who Balaam cursed was cursed, and who Balaam blessed was blessed. His deeds were known over many nations, apparently. That fits Balaam. Have we not prophesied your name? Verse 22. Have we not cast out devils? Have we not done many wonderful works? But Jesus says, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, workers of iniquity. We, as well, have a similar command to respect the authority of God. Respect what God has said. So Balaam was tempted. We certainly know wealth was brought into the picture here. Very likely flattery fits right in with that wealth. Whether the intimidation specifically affected him or not, I don't know that the text draws that out as much. But he was certainly, those are all temptations and could be temptations for us. We can be tempted. We can be tempted with wealth, with flattery, or even be intimidated. We need to be concerned about that and aware of that. And so we certainly see Balaam's persistence in trying to accomplish what Balak wanted done. Likely it was certainly out of the desire for wealth. We recognize that from Scripture. But also these other factors surely come into play, if not just for ourselves as well. Here's a big lesson for us. Sometimes God will give us what we don't need. Balaam went. Balaam wanted. God let him go. Did it work out good for Balaam? He's almost killed by the angel of the Lord. He wanted that money he was after, that he was greedy. A house full of silver, after all, is a pretty big deal. Maybe there's some way we can work this out. Maybe there's some way God can make this little avenue. Maybe God's not thought about this yet. We ourselves can get in that same boat. We can want or ask for more than we really want and not realize the consequences for what we're asking, right? Balaam didn't realize what he's getting himself into, but he saw that house full of silver and gold. He saw great prestige. Well, as he's riding a donkey, three occasions he is almost killed except for his donkey saves him. He certainly didn't get what he wanted in the end. It was trouble was what he got. Aside from that, he had three more events or occasions with Balak where Balak's like, come on, curse these people. And Balaam's like, I can't. Three more times after this event, Balak tries to get, offers these sacrifices those three times. And Balaam still says, I bless these people. I cannot curse these people. So Balaam's desire for the money, Balaam's desire for wealth caused him a lot of heartache, didn't it? Caused him a lot of heartache. And we see that in these, and we didn't really read specifically in chapter 24. There's the three occasions that are chapter 23, I'm sorry, 23 and 24, where they actually offer sacrifices to God on three occasions, that Balak offers these sacrifices, and Balaam goes to God to seeking God's curse on the people and blessings on Balak, and it didn't happen. So Balaam got more than he really wanted. The reality is, God had chosen and promised Israel, this is the way it's going to be. That wasn't changing. When we talk about God's preordained will and preordained plans, that this is going to happen, God was giving the land of Canaan to Israel. And He was going to give it to them. Now, He was going to do it under His terms. Remember, they already spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness, didn't they? Why? Because they lack faith. So now their faith is whole. Now their faith is complete. Now their faith is ready. And they are now conquering the land of Israel. God is ready to now give him his grace, as it were. Because their faith is finally full enough and they're ready to act on their faith. So God was not going to curse Israel. And God was going to bless them and conquer the land of Canaan. And that's what happened. There was nothing that happened on this earth to prevent that from happening. Just the same as with our Savior. There was nothing going to prevent our Savior from coming to this earth and offering a sacrifice to save us from our sins. So much so, if you look at our bulletin article, both of them are about Balaam. Caiaphas, the high priest, the enemy of our Savior, prophesied that one must die to save the people. He made that prophecy about Jesus at the very time he's trying to kill Jesus. The twist on that is his prophecy was still true and right. That was exactly what was going to happen, but not the way he thought it, not the way Caiaphas thought it was going to happen. Caiaphas was trying to eliminate Jesus to save Judaism. But what happened was he eliminated Jesus and brought our Savior to the sacrifice for our sins and allowed that fulfillment of that prophecy and fulfillment of that promise to save man was through the high priest who was at that time fighting against God, an enemy of God and an enemy of Jesus. That's an interesting article, by the way, if you get a bulletin and take a look at that and read that. Very, very interesting article there about the prophecy of Caiaphas. God was not going to curse Israel. That wasn't happening. Now, I love to go back and pick up. Occasionally there are archaeological finds. In other words, there's a scroll out there. People have mocked, oh, this donkey and this story, this never happened. Well, it turns out, and I'm not an expert on where this is at, but they found a book of Balaam. And I think that's going to be the location. The reality is there is a scroll that talks about Balaam, the son of Beor, a divine seer is he. His history shows us Balaam existed. He's a real man. Opponents of the Bible and talk and say, oh, that's just a story. Balaam never existed. These are all made up and wise tales. That actually happened. If you like to study those things, and for that matter, search for Bible doctrines and topics and history and all kinds of things Bible-related, Bible.ca is a good place to go and find these things. That's what it's there for, to reference. And so there's a scroll that's got Balaam. The book of Balaam, it talks about Balaam, the son of Beor, in a historical record. I throw that in there for your own, just because it's neat. But notice the lessons we learn, though, from this, right? From the talking donkey and Balaam, we learn the authority of God's command. I can't go do more or do less, if we could learn from that, right? Don't do more than what God said. God has told us what we need to know. We can't go beyond and do more than what God has instructed. And we can't do less than what God instructed. There is a narrow road, Jesus talks about, the straight and the narrow. It's difficult and not everyone finds it. Balaam understood that thousands of years before Jesus said it. Thousands of years. There is a straight and narrow way. I can't do more, to quote him from Numbers 22 and verse 18, I can't go beyond the word of the Lord to do less or to do more. God spoke. We are here to listen. We are here to listen. Also recognize the authority of God's prophets. God's prophets were confirmed. Balak knew Balaam was from God. He knew. Why? Because his words stood true. He had evidence. He confirmed what he spoke. There was confirmation. God's prophets, the true prophets of God, can confirm their message. Balaam was one of those. His message was confirmed, and he spoke authoritatively of God's word. And God uses men to reveal his message. He uses select men to reveal his message. We see that in Balaam. A prophet, not a part of the nation of Israel, by the way. Kind of like the Jonah went to Nineveh. Nineveh was a Gentile nation. Here, Balaam is, now Jonah was of Israelite, but here in this case, Balaam was not an Israelite. Yeah, right, we can be tempted with wealth and flattery too, right? Maybe there's some way I can work this out. Maybe there's an awful lot of money on stake here. There's an awful lot of wealth or whatever it is we want. A lot of things at stake here. Maybe we can find a way to work this out. Be careful. And be careful what we pray for. Sometimes God will let us have it. And we won't like it. We like Balaam. Balaam didn't like what he got. He got a lot of heartache, didn't he? Balaam got a lot of heartache because he was tempted by wealth. And certainly the intimidation, that can be a factor as well. So be careful what we ask for. Know this, there are things about God's will that will not change. You know, there's people in the, there's a king in the Old Testament, I thought of this, but I forgot to look it up for the lesson. God says, your time is near. It's about to come. And he prayed to God, and God gave him more years of life. There are things that are not set in stone, but there are things that are set in stone. And so the things that God leaves to our free will, we can do, and we're free to change. And yeah, we can choose a course like Balaam did. That's hard for us. We can choose a course that leads us to eternal punishment. Eternal punishment is not going to change. It's going to happen. Just like eternal life in heaven will happen. Those things are not changing. But whether I get there or not, that's up to me to decide. That's up to me to decide. It was up to Balaam to decide if he wanted to follow God or not. He knew the words. He knew what was right and wrong. He chose to try and work out a way in between. Maybe I can still get this wealth. Maybe I can still get this prestige. And still do what God wants. Well, and ultimately, Balaam, we see, led Israel astray. He was a cancer to Israel in that he led them into idolatry. And that's not good. It's nothing. There's not good said about Balaam. That's unfortunate. But we don't have to make the choice Balaam made. We can be converted. We can change from the life that we live that maybe is not on course that God wants us. We know this. If we're not on the course that God desires of us, our results will not be good. They will not be pleasant. Even in this life here, it will be a challenge for us. God offers us the perfect and the best way. And we can follow that. If we choose to follow it, he will bless us, and we will be blessed because we live a godly life. And that is blessing in and of itself. If you've not chosen to make that, to begin to follow God and follow our Savior, to be a disciple of his, in Matthew 28, the apostles were taught to baptize them, making disciples of them. We see that happen in Acts chapter 2. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus and begin that walk, that's the first step that the disciples showed as they taught and converted people to Christianity. If you've begun that walk and stumbled, we always want to offer you the opportunity to come and ask the prayers of the saints. We'd be glad to help you in any way we can. We can pray for you and be glad to do that. If you were subject to our invitation this morning in any way, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?